anoint David HaMelech. Hopefully we'll get up to that event this evening. And the parakeet opens in a very interesting way, which I probably should have photocopied to you also, beginning of parakeet as Vav, to compare, but I do want to read to you, I'll read to you from inside. In the beginning of parakeet as Vav, the previous parakeet, Shmuel said to Shaul, Vayomer Shmuel Shaul, Shul Shmuel said to Shaul, Osi Shalach Hashem Limshachachol Melech Al Amo Yisrael, I was sent by God to anoint you to be the king over his nation, over Israel. Vatosh Malakol Divrei Hashem, and now listen to the words of God. There's a parallel here. Vayomer Hashem, Shmuel Hashem says to Shmuel, Ad Mosai Atom Isabel El Shaul. How long are you going to mourn Shaul Vanima Steve and I have repudiated him? Mimloch Yisrael to no longer be king over Am Yisrael. Malei Karnecha Shemen, fill your horn with oil, the lech, and go. Eshlechacha El Yishai Beis Alachmi, I'll send it to Yishai in Beis Lechem. Kirisi Bivanov Li Melchi, because I saw in his children for me a king. So at the beginning of Perek Tezvav, Shmuel is telling to Shaul about his responsibility as being the anointed king over Am Yisrael. Hashem is saying to Shmuel, forget him. I found somebody else who I choose to anoint over my nation, over Am Yisrael. Now, the thing is, it doesn't say what I just said at the last three words or four words or so is incorrect. It doesn't say that I chose him to be a king, the new fellow, to be king over Am Yisrael. It just says, Li Melech, for me a king. And the Mepharshim do pick up on this. First, let's see the Malbim before we discuss that further. The Malbim starts on the bottom of the second page here. The Malbim says, oh no, it doesn't. Sorry, start on the page before. Apologize. Okay, I see a little bit got cut off at the end of the. Alright, woman should be okay. Tezainav, Amartatam Isabel, Hallelujah morning, Yomar, he's saying, Avi Lusavat Mead, Hashem is saying, constant mourning, Ye Obavur Golda Malas Dovar Nevaratmo, or because of the greatness of the thing which was lost itself. Concerning this, Falo Anima Stimi Melchal Ismelchizo, I reject him to be the king of Ramisho. Vemachashiv, so show no longer any significance. Obavur, or it could be because Shalo Nimsa Dovar Achetmos is nothing to take that thing's place. On this, Hashem tells him, fill your horn with anointing oil, etc. Kirisi b'von of limel, because his son and his sons for me a king. V'amar malei karnecha b'kinui. And it says here specifically to fill a horn. Kishol nimshach b'pach, because Shol was anointed with a tin. U'kach lo nimshach malchuso. And therefore his kingship was not extended, didn't take was not long. Kisivas bichrosa, because the reason why he was chosen by Rotanam is because of the will of the nation. Came Bachru Ish Gavar, that's why they chose somebody tall, Gavar Gavar Koma, Sheim Tzuchain Beine Am, who find favor in the eyes of the nation. Avo David Nimshach Bekeren of Hashem HaKodesh, but David was anointed with oil, and with the holy, the anointing oil, and with a horn. Kiyazbah Eis, Sheim Loch Melech, Yoshev al Kisei Hashem, because then was the time when there should be a king who will sit on the throne of God. Umrutzel Hashem was satisfactory to God. Umrutzel leisilvad, not somebody who's temporarily okay. Zek Shagaznat says, my late kind of chom, you could luck, take your own special Karen, Limshoch Malchus, to anoint the kingship. Kayom, so to be sustainable. Shalom, Ramza, Chana, B'tfilas, and the Chana already alluded to this in the Tfila when she said, Rama, Kani, V'lo Rama, Pachi, my horn is uplifted and not my container. K'divei Chazal, Chazal, learn that. Al Zemai, that it says, Lech, V'ashlachacha, go and I will send you. Lokomo, Eitzel, Shol, Shisaro, Shri, Avo, Eitzel, Navi. Not like by Shol, where Shol came eventually to Shmuel. Rather, Rak, Atar, Tavoy, Lo, B'shul, Hashem, you go to him because you are my emissary. I saw in his kings, his children, a king who's special to me, not just to the nation. like it says in the Sifri, wherever it says to me, it means it's an eternal thing. So David here is being chosen to be Melech LaHashem, not just a Melech LiYisrael, but rather Melech LaHashem, which is very, very significant. He's going to be different. Shaul is chosen by the nation. David is not chosen by the nation. David is chosen and designated specifically by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, there are a couple of important points in the Radak. The Radak says, first of all, that you see from our pasuk that Mashiach has to be done, and from other places, that Mashiach has to be done via Nevuah. In other words, a Navi has got to be the one to anoint. Even if a Navi himself can't get there, or can't do the Mashiach, rather, then the Kohen has to oversee, has to oversee the individual who's doing the actual Mashiach, who's actually anointing with the oils. Okay? That's the first thing. Another thing is that there's a shear for Mashiach, a specific measure of oil which is necessary, which is the full, a full horn, a full Karen. Finally, like we said before, Li Melech is different than saying Melech Yisrael. Okay? However, the Radak does not, in other words, it's a special king, special for Hashem. The Radak doesn't make that much of the Karnecha aspect, though, which means specifically Shmuel's Karen. So, of course, in order to look for guidance in these issues, we turn to Reb Tzadok. And if you turn to the last page to my notes, the fourth line down, Akeren Uatoker. The Karen is the strength. Asher Bo Aminin Hagach, with whom Amisol gores other nations, Bo Sekir Tsono, and does as it pleases. And another place it goes on and says, Nimsho Tamichochem Lishor. A Tamichochem is likened to an ox. Shakaren Umimosoro Samoke Dua. The brain grows out, I guess, out of the skull, whatever, and it's considered to be an offshoot, spiritually at least, of the mind. Can't tell you exactly because none of us have ever had horns, hopefully. But that's a. Yeah. But the Peshat in Karen is, again, that we're talking about the Karen of an animal, and it protrudes from its mind. Umocha Chaza Kokach. And a Talmud Chacham, who is likened to a shor, his mind is also very, very strong, even without the horn, linageach, to gore people. And therefore the horn represents the entirety, the totality of the wisdom of the mind. Now, in my opinion, we can understand very critically then why Hashem is telling Shmuel, take your Karen. Because the Karen symbolizes to us the power of an individual to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem in any place or in any situation where they're found. Why is that? Because the Karen represents the special wisdom which David HaMelech was going to receive, young David now, was going to receive from Shmuel. And that really was going to be a very important thing in his training to be a king. Again, as I say, to make a Kiddush Hashem, and to do fight I'm the well, enemies, whatever the case may be. So just like the horn represents to us strength, it also represents to us wisdom. Because it's used to gore, but it's right next to the mind, to the brain. So the idea was that Shmuel should grant that power to Hashem, to David, via the Mashiach, the anointing with the Karen. Now, I want to say a little bit more in this regard. What was in the Karen? What? Oil. Who made the oil? No. Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the oil which Moshe Rabbeinu made, right? So the oil also represents the flow of wisdom. Just like the horn represents the wisdom coming out of the head, so too the oil represents, or it has a, I would say, has a property of wisdom which is being bestowed in Shmuel, in here in David. So we look what we're having. We're having a horn symbolism. Think of a unicorn. We're having a horn symbolism, and we're having the shemen symbolism, and they're not just symbols. These are tools by which Hashem said, we will transmit the Kedusha of Shmuel and of Moshe to David HaMelech. And I would not be surprised if we could say that in that famous Pasuk in Tehillim, Moshe v'Aaron b'Kohana, u'Shmuel b'Korei Shemol, David is thanking Hashem also for providing him with the power which came from Shmuel. And the power which came from Shmuel, of course, among other powers, both Nevuah, we'll see later on, but particularly Tefillah, Chana, the big davener of all time. That trait came via Shmuel to David through this Keren. Let me digress a little bit more here. You know that we also, in Shmon Esther, we emphasize this by David HaMelech. It's a strange thing, right? At Semach David, Avdecha Meir, Satzmiach, V'kano Toru Mishua Secho, we want his horn. It's David HaMelech's horn. What do we care if we get a horn, get an antler, get an ear? Well, why do we say Karno? Why do you need the Keren of David HaMelech? So I think that the Keren of David HaMelech represents to us David's power, or the power of Mashiach, to go ahead and fight again, as we said before, with the strength of one's Yiran, the strength of one's Yediyah Safira, to go out and wage wars against the enemies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's what the Karno term, is in order to instill in us the desire to go out and involve ourselves in the process of bringing about, I don't know, to instill in us, but in order to plead with Hashem to give us the power to go out and wage the war, not a physical war necessarily, but the spiritual war against the nations of the world. Yes. So I was going to get to that. Moshe Rabbeinu came down by Sinai, so Michelangelo gave him a pair of horns. Remember that? Ever see the famous sculpture of Moses? No? When it says at the end of which parasha then? Kisisa? Yeah, I think you're right at the end. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Sinai, Karan or Pana. His face was illuminated with horns of light, or whatever. So we know it's not literal. Michelangelo was not so smart. And he put on his sculpture of Moshe Rabbeinu, he put actual horns. I guess because he was convinced her. Susie, you wanted to convince everybody else that Jews have horns. Now, the truth is, obviously, that he's wrong. But besides that, there is a message here, which is that the horn is also connected to the word illumination. A Karen or is illumination of light. So therefore, this Karen provided to Moshe, to David, very strong illumination, right? It provided illumination of the power of Shmuel to transfer the Melucha to David, and it provided also the power to transfer the legacy of Moshe Rabbeinu to David HaMelech. Okay, yes. Nechaz Basfach Bekano. Right, right. That's also the same idea, that the Karen there gets without getting to get great detail now, but yes, there's an emphasis on Karen there as well. Okay. Pasuk Beis. Vayomer Shmuel. Shmuel, yeah.
Any significance that it says
Vayomer
Hashem El Shmuel rather than
Vayomer
David HaMelech?
I don't know if it says Elohim and Navi's that often. Well, it's certainly a Rachmin for Christ will have David HaMelech as their king, so maybe that's why, yeah. Okay, Pasuk Beis, Vayomer Shmuel, Eche Eilech, how can I go, says Shmuel, V'shama Shaul V'aragani, Araguni, Harag, I'm not sure how to read that word, V'aragani, okay, how can I go, and if Shaul's going to hear, and he's going to kill me, Vayomer Hashem, so Hashem said, Egoz Bokor Tifach Yodecho, take a calf in your hands, so Mark is well, Hashem Bossi, and said you came to make the Korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a very big theological problem in this pasuk here. What's the theological problem? Right? Besides the white lie, that's also true.
This happened
So, in any event, when it says here, theological problem is, Shmuel doesn't trust God. God can't protect him under any circumstances. What's going on here? The question Hashem says, go, and you say, I'm afraid. It's a big problem.
So why should he be afraid of Shaul? He's never been afraid of
Shaul. Well, before, because he didn't know that this is a coup. He's going to organize a coup d'etat. Right, so he's saying that.
Told Shaul that the Mamlacha will be torn away.
Shaul doesn't want to see that happen in any way quicker than possible, right? So in any event, so there's the Radak has two approaches. The first approach basically centers on the word Eich. He says, Shmuel did a question, how can I go? Shmuel's saying, okay, God, how should I go? How should I go in order to effect this best? Should I go trumpeting my cause? Should I go quietly? What should I do? So according to the first part on the Radak, Eich is not a question of how can I go? It's a question of how can I go?
Right? How should I go? How should I go so he won't kill me?
You're right, it doesn't fit in so well with Vishama Shovaragani, right. It sounds more like his second shot, which is more, however, the second shot is no less unconventional. In the second shot, the Radak says that Shmuel is saying to Hashem, yeah, the same Shad Radak says is that Shmuel said to Hashem, look, it's true that I'm going right with your command, but the way Hashem works the world is that Hashem tries to diminish the nature of a miracle. When a miracle has to be done, a miracle has to be done. But Hashem diminishes it. And the truth is that Hashem diminishes the miracle so much that perhaps a person's fear can be justified as a result. He brings down a couple of examples. He says that when Yaakov came back from Chutz La'aretz, so he was afraid that Esav would kill him. But didn't he know Hashem would protect him? And then he brings down the case of David himself, even though he was anointed to be a king based on God's say-so, he used to always have to flee in front of him before Shaul. And even God the Navi told him how to flee. Hi, Hashem's not going to protect him. And he goes, brings out a couple of other cases, and he says that even though Hashem does nisim and wonders with an individual, nonetheless, normally they're done in a way which takes into account the normal pattern of the world's behavior. So it takes into account the normal pattern of the world's behavior, so therefore it's possible that something negative will befall. I don't think I'm explaining myself well. Hashem limits the miracles that he makes. As much as possible, things have to do with the natural order. If in a natural order a person's placed in danger by going somewhere, the fact that Hashem commanded him doesn't necessarily remove him from that situation of danger. It means Hashem wants him to go. It means a miracle will occur and somehow this message will occur, but it doesn't mean he won't be in danger on the way. You see that? A very interesting thing which the Radak is saying. Yes. Yes, it is Lashon Hara against Shaul. So what? Are you assuming that it's possible to tell that Lashon Hara against Shaul? Let me ask you two questions. Let me ask you two questions on your assumption. First of all, is it also to tell Lashon Hara to Hashem?
Yes, because Moshe was punished.
That's not because it's also to say it.
it's forbidden for Moshe to have that attitude, because he had no right to have it. But he was legitimate. In fact, Hashem acquiesced. He told him, go ahead and lie. Right? That's A. That was B. I was about to say something else as well. Lashon Hara like this is mutter to any individual as well. It's l'toelos. To save your own life. I think that Shmuel was wise enough to know that to assess the situation accurately and not go overboard. No, we never saw it explicitly. Or never had something like that explicitly. I think he might, as a matter of fact, quote that. The last one, the third to last line in the Radak on page 130 says, the truth is, let me give a little bit of prelude. The Radak is yet another interpretation. The Radak says, Mom is the exact opposite. Shmuel says to Hashem, Taka, he's afraid.
This is like 2 years ago.
He's afraid. So Hashem says, oh, you're afraid? Now I'm going to make you do it in public. In other words, till now, I thought you'd do it privately. But now, I'm going to make a public spectacle of it by making a public sacrifice on the day and in the locality in which you're going to be Moshe Chtav and HaMelech. It's not a bunch of pshat in the pasuk, but that's how the Malvi wants to learn, and one of the pshatim which the Malvi has. Now, there are a couple of other interpretations here. The Ralbag is a very strange pshat. Ralbag says that, although I'll come back with a couple of minutes, the Ralbag says a story about when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem told Shmuel, take a calf, so he's telling him that, pretend you're going to make an egg larufa, and then nobody will realize where you're going. Pretend you're going to share to wring the neck of this ego in a certain valley where somebody was found dead, and nobody knows who murdered him. That way, Shmuel could stay out of trouble. You can go incognito. Okay, so that's what he's telling him to do. Another interpretation here is the interpretation of the Malbim. The Malbim has a slight variation on the theme, and he's of the Radak. He says that when does Hashem make a miracle? When the miracle is in conjunction with the agency which the individual is sent on to do. So then he'll see Hashem saves the individual. However, here where Shmuel was going to go, let's say, on the way to get there, so then the nace is not integral. The nace is not essential to the actual Mashiach. So therefore, it's true, it's a prelude, it's kind of getting there. But since it's not essential to the actual miracle, so therefore, Shmuel is afraid, I'm not going to have a miracle occur to me at that time. Nobody, if I am attacked, then nobody's going to protect me. Shluim and mitzvah inam nizokim is only when they're in a place, only when they're in a place which is not dangerous. I have to be serious. It's making it sound strange, but that's the reality. Shluim is not a blanket thing. It's not like a bulletproof vest again, protecting against every possible pitfall. Okay, I'll ask you another question, please. Very tired. Okay, just straight black, double dose, I'm very tired tonight. In any event, I'll wait till he gets back. Continue. The one other thing about this pasuk is that Chazal learned from this pasuk that Hashem gave him. The pasuk shot, Hashem told him, take it out, make believe you're going to make a korban, right? It's pasuk shot in the pasuk. So the Chazal learned out from this, so you're allowed to lie because of Darkei Sholem. to save the peace, especially your own peace. You're allowed to lie, and that's what Shmuel was told by Hashem to do. So it's possible, theologically, you can say that really the whole pshat here, the whole reason why this whole episode was Shmuel's question, Hashem's answer occurs is to teach this halacha that you're allowed to lie when it's in the cause of peace. Okay, plus gimel. The korasal isha bezava, call to isha to make the sacrifice. Vanochi of the ochas asher taaseh, and I will notify you that which you should do. Umashakta li as asher omar lech, and you should anoint for me he who I point out to you or he who I notify you about. Now, the Malbim says that the Malbim says a very strange thing, in my opinion. The Malbim says, why didn't Hashem tell him right away who is going to anoint? Why did Hashem let him, go unaware? The Malbim says it's part of in order to give him an alibi. If Shmuel were to find Shmuel in the city and say, hey, what are you doing? So then Shmuel would say, I don't know. God sent me here. That's why I'm here. Were he to know what he was going to do, that he was going to anoint David, so it would have been up the creek. So he would have been able to say, I really don't know why I'm here. So therefore, according to Malbim, God was like a co-conspirator with the Shmuel, and he was trying to get him to be specifically keeping him ignorant in order that Shmuel wouldn't be able later on to be, to be placed in a situation where he would have to lie even more and say he didn't know what he was going to do, whereas in reality he did know what he's going to do. Alright, that seems to me to be a bit strained, that Hashem is helping Shmuel to create an alibi. Seems like the type of thing that, one mafioso might do for another mafioso, but not from last night, Tony might help Vinny do, but it's not something which we expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do with Shmuel. So the Radak is slightly more palatable in this respect. The Radak says that the reason why Hashem didn't tell Shmuel who he's going to anoint his king is because Hashem wants it to be a surprise. Why does Hashem want it to be a surprise? Because that'll give much more fanfare and magnify the event in a very, very dramatic way, and therefore the event will make much more of an impression. Anyway, Hashem said tells Shmuel to call Yishai, and Shmuel of course does that. Vayashmuel pasuk dalet. Vayashmuel sasher diber Hashem. Shmuel does everything Hashem tells him. Vayavo beis lachem, and he comes to beis lachem. Vayechudu zikne ayir, the elders of the city tremble because so come out towards him. Vayomer, and they said, Shalom Boecho, is your coming in peace? Vayomer, and he said, Shalom, it's in peace. Lizbach Hashem, but I came to sacrifice to Hashem. Ufosimiti Bazevach, and come with me to the sacrifice. Vakadeshis Yishai, as Bonavani, and he sanctified Yishai and his children. I'm not sure what that process that existed of, whether it was Parat Duma or whether it was just going to the mikveh. But in any event, he said they made them Kadosh. Vayikra Lem Zevach, and he called them to participate in the korban. Now, the Mefarshim learned that Shmuel's appearance was so rare that they got nervous. In other words, they said, what's going on? Is everything peaceful? Otherwise, what are you doing here? Why is that difficult to accept? Why would you find that shot difficult to accept? Based on knowing what you know about Shmuel, why is that difficult to accept? That shot, Mefarshim. Because what are Shmuel's salient mitzvahs or salient tikkunim which Shmuel made in the Jewish world at the time? That until that time, Dayanim didn't travel the circuit. He started traveling the circuit. So to me, it's very difficult to say that that Shmuel was not expected. It was so unexpected based on him that they asked him whether everything was peaceable or not peaceable. So it's difficult. So I wanted to say, although I don't have any proof of anything I'm about to say, that maybe in Shmuel's old age, he stopped going. That would be the pashup shot, right? But the truth is that Shmuel never got really old, according to Chazal. Okay, maybe, you know, one could say that's not the Pashup Shah, but according to Chazal, Shmuel died at the age of 52. So it leaves him a considerable bit of leeway, spryness, I should say, to go visit everybody and see what's going on. So I would assume he was still going on. The problem is, though, why do they say that Shalom Baracha is you're coming in peace or not? I don't know. I don't have a good approach here. The Malbim, in order to explain this, is an approach which I find unpalatable, which is the Malbim says that the elders of the city fell hook, line, and sinker for the interpretation of Shmuel's visit as connected to an Egla Rufa. And then they said, oh, what do we do wrong? Because if there's an Egla Rufa very close to us, that means that we might be liable for it. So therefore, Shmuel was coming and saying to them, Egla Rufa, they get afraid. And since they were afraid, that's why they said to Shmuel, what's going on? Because I don't like the Egla Rufa thing to begin with. It says Egla and Pasuk Gim and Pasuk Beis, you're right, but I don't think that that's the shot. It's too complicated, too kind of convoluted to say. Okay, Chazal, excuse me, not Chazal, the Radak says that Vayomer, because it says that Zikne, the elders of the city started trembling. That says Vayomer, that one of them said Shalom Borecha. Who's the one who said Shalom Borecha? So the Malbim brings that, not the Malbim, the Radak says that it's Yishai. Now the truth is, now that I'm thinking of it, I have another approach, which came to me right now, which is that at that time they were still up in the air about this very grave issue about Ammoni v'lo Ammonis, Moavi v'lo Moavis, whether Ammonite and Moabite women could enter Klal Yisrael, which was a major problem with Rus, right? And so we know that at one point Yishai decided that he was the descendant of Rus, he was Pasul L'Kohol, right, that he couldn't marry to the Jewish people, and therefore he separated from his wife. You know, you never heard this before? No? That Yishai was descended from Ruth is a fact. So therefore, we know that he came up at some point. He said, uh-oh, what am I going to do? I'm from Ammon, from Moab. It was through the women's side, it's true, but that halacha was not yet, you know, hard and fast determined, so I can't live with my wife anymore. And he said that they separated, and there's a whole complicated story about that. But in any event, the bottom line, which I want to say from here, is that maybe they were afraid that Shmuel would come to rebuke them. But since they were doing the Ammoni v'lo, since they were following Ammoni v'lo Ammoni, so maybe Yishai, okay, Yishai was afraid, and he said, Vayomer, Yishai himself said, Shalom Bo'echa, they come in peace, because he had a guilty conscience because of the way he was conducting his affairs. Okay, in any event, they came, everybody came. Pasuk Vav, Vayibe Vav, it came when they came to the Zevach, to the Korban. Vayah said Liav, Moshe, Shmuel saw Liav. Vayom, he said, Ach neged Hashem Mashiach. Oh, before God is his Mashiach. Now, there are two interpretations of this Pasuk. And according to this, we're going to have two interpretations next Pasuk as well. And they are, one of them is that Eliab was tall and athletic, and the other that Eliab was short and fat. The Mepharshim don't say that, but I'll use that just for convenience sake. And those who say that Eliab was an athletic, healthy individual say, ah, what Shmuel is saying is, this is Ach Neged Hashem, opposite God, is now standing as Mashiach, as anointed one, and that anointed one being Eliyahu. However, according to the Malbim, I believe, and others, the Radak's alternate shot, which the Malbim doesn't accept, it's that when Shmuel saw Eliyahu, he said, huh, this runt is going to be king? How could that be? It must be a terrible mistake. And he said, Alo neged Hashem Mashiach, in other words, Shol is for sure a better Mashiach, a better leader of the kings Then this guy, Aaliyah, 98-pound weakling, whatever he was. That's just saying, you know, for whatever. Rashi brings down that the negative characteristic he had was that he got angry very easily. So in any event, whether it be that as it may, what we're being told here is that Shmuel came and he intended to be Moshe Chaliyah. Whether he did it begrudgingly or whether he did it willfully, depending on how you read the pasuk, he came to anoint Eliyav, and he made a mistake, and that was a mistake. Now, is there really a let's do pasuk sign. Vayomer Hashem Shmuel. Shmuel said, Hashem said to Shmuel, Al tabeta mareu. Do not look at this guy or Shaul, depending on who we learn. Like their tall height, Val gova kamaso, his visage actually in his tall height. Ki matiu, because I repudiated him, Eliyav. Ki lo asher yireha adam, because not like the person sees. Ki adam yireh leinayim, a person sees the heart. Hashem yireh leivav, and Hashem sees a person sees the eyes, and Hashem sees the heart. Hashem sees what's in a person's heart, and Eliyav's heart was dark with anger, whatever it was. He's not suitable to be king. But there are others here in this family who are suitable to be king. So a very important rhetoric in this, in my opinion. Take a look at the first page of my notes. 9 lines from the bottom. One, two, three, four, five, six. 9 lines from the bottom, yeah. So Rabbi Tzadok says, Kibolamah, actually 8 lines now. Kibolamah there, because in Olamah there, Adarab, on the contrary. Tzadik Gomor, Choshim Yosef Baal Tshuva. A great tzaddik is considered to be more significant than a Baal Tshuva. Ki Adam Yerli Nai, because a person only sees with his eyes. Mishen Ayopos. And Chazal tells some, a Kala whose eyes are beautiful, the rest of her body doesn't have to be checked. So in any event, when we look in a person's eyes, we're seeing a very superficial, if accurate, assessment of that and what that individual is right now. However, Vashem Yerli Leva, Vashem will look into the heart. What does that mean? Hashem is looking not at what you're doing now, but rather what you're going to be doing in the future. Hashem yireh, Reb Tzadok. Now, Hashem yireh l'leiv of Hashem will look at the future as the heart will appear 10 years from now and make his decision, whatever the case may be. So therefore he says here, become a mar. When I get up to Vizaya base bechir is the parentheses. Vizaya base bechir is Dovin Melchul of Shalom. This time, the time Dovin Melchul is chosen. Hagever. Asherei kim olus of tshuva, the individual who set up the power, the yoke of tshuva, shetliya b'lev, which has to do with the heart. The levavo, his double heart, yavin, he'll understand, v'shuva, and he'll do tshuva. What's the double heart? What do I mean by that? Yetzer tov, yetzer hara, right? V'chol levavcha means the duality of the heart. So the purpose of David HaMelech, which he instilled in Chrysler, is to take both parts of the heart and use them for Avodas Hashem. V'chol taklus Hashem yitzbarach bo levav. And therefore the primary connection with which Hashem gazes at us is with our levav, our internals. And therefore for David HaMelech, it wasn't enough that he wasn't had nice eyes, which we'll see later in the parak. No, that's not what kind of kingship. Because there are a lot of nice people as well in Klai Yisrael at the time. What it got him the kingship was his future. And what was his future by David HaMelech of Hashem? That he became Baal Tshuva. After he sinned, he became Baal Tshuva. I'm continuing on this along the side line of reasoning. Oh, the truth is, you know what? Let me finish first this thought, which is that Rav Tzadok goes on to say it. Hashem Levav means that a person, when he looks at something, looks at it from Olam Hazeh eyes. He doesn't look with Olam Haba eyes. If a person looks on this world with Olam Haba eyes, so attitudes would be different. Right? But it's not shaykh to look at this world with Olam Haba eyes. No such thing. There's no eyes when it relates to Olam Haba. It says, Ayin l'ras Elokim zu asecha. No eyes other than yours have beheld the world to come yet. Because the world so to come is such a transcendence of time. So what happens? Hashem says to Shmuel, you should know, the guy I want is the guy who'll do tshuva. Why is that? Because Lasi Lavo, in the world to come, Makam Shabali Tshuva Omdim and Tzadikim Borim Omdim. Where the Bali Tshuva stand, there no Tzadikim can stand. It's such a holy place. That's his full potential. That he can be a Bali Tshuva. And the Chiddush of David, you know, I once heard from a disparaging comment made by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky about a certain yeshiva in Yerushalayim. I won't tell you which one. A certain yeshiva in Yerushalayim, he said, it's the only yeshiva in the world which he knows of actually, which can take a normal frum kid and turn him into a Baal Tshuva. And he said, that's the way I heard it. And he said that as a negative thing, because he said, to be a Baal Tshuva means, in the sense of that yeshiva's Baal Tshuva means to be, I guess what we would call in the vernacular, farchnyokt. So therefore he was against that. Too radically religious. Fervent. In any event, but he was talking about a good sense, not like Rabbi Yaakov. He's saying Hashem wanted the Baalei Tshuva to be the example, because the purpose is to take something which is bad and turn it to good. And David HaMelech is unique in that he started off good and then afterwards became Baal Tshuva as well. That was the unique quality of David HaMelech. So David HaMelech, therefore, is the one who's connected to Yirel HaLevav, to the schar which comes from battling Yetzirah in the world to come, which nobody knows now. It's impossible to know. So therefore, by David HaMelech, it says, Shmuel was told, don't look at him how he looks. Because Shmuel, as holy as he was, let's see it inside here in my notes again. The Navi lifni mikoy roe. A Navi originally was called a roe. So his perception was ayde ayin roe, by an eye which saw. Thou came Amr Shmuel, therefore it says the Shmuel, Rabban Shel Navim, the Rebbe of all prophets, Al Tabet the Gomer. Don't look. Ki lo asher yira adam. It's not like man sees, even a roe, even a Shmuel can't see properly. Ki adam yira le nine, because the person will only look with his eyes. Ki David amelcha lavashon, because David the king, who are gamer shaking my roshul tshuva, his individual set up the whole camp of the tent of tuma. Of the eyes from tshuva, which was from the depths of the heart. The Levavo Yavin, he understood what he did wrong. The Zohar Asogas Abin Aliba, and he had the understanding in the heart. Shu'ama Lilo, which is from the highest levels. Dai Loros, which no eye has ever seen. The Ein Ba Asogam Alamazek, kind of be grasped in this world. Elamisha Zohar Liros Olama V'chayab, as if this is living on an Olam Abba plateau already in this world. Parish Kvartikin Akol, meaning somebody rectified all the problems. Gama Shorish, the Echo Shonachosh, even the source of the counsel of the serpent, the Zohar Chayolim, and he merits the world to come. And therefore, all the Nevi'im, all the Nevi'im were misnabeli Moshe Mashiach. The prophecies concern the time of Mashiach. Nobody knows besides Hashem what the world to come is going to look like. So you see an amazing thing. Shmuel is a prophet. You know, Chazal tells us here the reason why Shmuel didn't see is a punishment. Rashi brings down, even though may way back when you called yourself a seer, I'm the seer, I'm telling you, you can't see anything. That's what
Rashi explains it, but the Reb Tzadok goes a step further. He says, Taka, Shmuel wasn't deprived of Nevuah. Yes, Shmuel was looking at this with Nevuah. But even a Navi can't see what Olam HaBa is all about. Even a Navi can't see what's going on in the Baal Tshuva's heart. In other words, how somebody who didn't start out on the highest level can turn around and turn things into the highest level. How things can all be brought so that the donos, things that are there, originally committed improperly and intentionally, now are atoned for as well. All those things Shmuel cannot relate to. Nor could any Navi. That's why Hashem says, you should know. It's not like you think. Hashem's saying, you're a Roeh. It's true. You have prophetic powers. But here, prophetic powers are not enough. It could be in the world of prophecy, Eliyahu should be king. We're not dealing in that world. We're dealing in that world which transcends this one, in which we deal with all of my above perceptions. And you know, of course, that in the world to come, who makes Kiddush? David HaMelech. Because David HaMelech, he achieved the goal of the world, which is darkness and then light. That things that start out dark should become light afterwards. That's what David HaMelech did. So here too, when we talk about who Hashem accepts and who Hashem rejects us, he says, you should know. You can see his eyes, and he looks very good as far as his eyes are concerned. But I can see his heart. And in his heart has got problems. But nevertheless, ultimately, Yireh L'Levav. Just wait and see what he does with his heart when he does tshuva. Okay? Let's do Chesn. You tell Chesn. Yud Vayikah Vayikroy Yishai El Avinadav. Once it didn't work with Eliyahu, so Yishai called Avinadav. Vayivrei Livnei Shmuel. They burned before Shmuel. Vayomer, and Shmuel said, Gam Bezeh Lo Bachar Hashem. Also this one says that he tried to pour the oil out from the container, from the horn, and it didn't go. Couldn't get it to pour out on the head of these people. Vayomer, Gam Bezeh Lo Bachar Hashem. Said, this oil, this one was also not chosen by Hashem. Vayaver Yishai Shiva's born of Livnei Shmuel. Yishai passed over all seven sons before Shmuel. So Shailam Mitzvah, David asked about whether there were seven, there weren't seven. Not for tonight, it's not that significant. In any event, he passed the seven sons before Livnei Shmuel. Vayomer Shmuel, Shmuel said, El Yishai to Yishai, Shalo Bachar Hashem Be'ela, all these people were not accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayomer Shmuel, to Shmuel said, El Yishai, Hatamu anorim. Are there no more youngsters to go through here to see if they're the king or not? Vayomer, so Yishai said, Oshar Katan. There's still one, the young one left. He's out there shepherding the sheep. Vayomer Shmuel Yishai. So Shmuel said to Yishai, Shilcha, send somebody. V'kachenu. And bring him here. Because we cannot sit down to eat until he comes back. That was amazing, amazing. This is relatively straightforward, but there's an amazing Yalkut Shimoni here. The Yalkut Shimoni says, I copied down on my on the side margin of my notes. We're not going to sit down to eat until David comes. Rishmur Nachmani said, since in this world, two great people did not do a seva to not recline to eat at this korban. Until David came to sit among them. So too, amazing, amazing matters. So too in the world to come. There is no compartment of tzaddikim. Shein David. Omeid Agabam, where David does not stand over the top of the wall. Another remarkable medrash. What it means is that, imagine Yishai and Shmuel. Yishai we know, though not from tonight, Yishai we know is a very holy person. Very, very holy person. He was one of the four people who died only because of the snake's counsel. Yishai is a very holy person. And Shmuel is a very holy person. Tzadik mentioned a long time ago that Shmuel, the reason why Shmuel was appointed instead of the sons of Eli was because Shmuel was very, very holy. Besides for that reason, opposed to the sons of Eli. No. You have one holy person over here, one holy person over there.
They ever going to talk to each other? He'll meditate. He'll learn. When are they ever going to talk? David is to unite. He's Yirah, fear and awe of Hashem. He's Yirah, fear and awe of Hashem. David is love. David is Ahavas Hashem. David is Chesed. David is compelled and driven to bring Am Yisrael together. Were that power not to exist in Am Yisrael, then no two tzaddikim, even in the world, could come, could ever enjoy each other's presence. Because to be a tzaddik requires restraint, requires inhibition, requires drawing back. So what's to unite one tzaddik with another? We talk to see a lot of strife very often among otherwise righteous people. The only thing that can unite, the only thing you can unite, excuse me, is David. What does David do? David is the power in each and every individual. I don't think David here means David himself. Otherwise he'd be busy all the time standing on the mechitzas of two tzaddikim, standing there and connecting them one to the other. Boy, what a wonderful olam haba that would be for David HaMelech. What it means is that David, with his personality trait of David HaMelech, unites everybody. Because Jews are not just the Uraim, which would mean that they're inhibited, restrained, draw back, but Jews are also Avi, in the right way, in the right sense. And that's what David HaMelech did. Yishai and Shmuel, they couldn't connect. They were too big Yirei Hashem. They need somebody like the glue. And the glue was the great love which David HaMelech represented. And Lossi Lava also, if a person was a big tzaddik, he was restrained, he was somewhat parish, somewhat absent. The other person being tzaddik is someone absent. What unites them? That tremendous love for everything which is involved in Avodas Hashem and everybody who's involved in Avodas Hashem, which is the aspect, the character trait of David HaMelech. So that's how David unites everybody. Here too, they waited. This is the first time. Shmuel and Yishai would not eat until David HaMelech arrived. Okay? Well, there's a famous medrash about that, which I didn't bring down. The medrash says he didn't think that David was his own kid. He thought David was illegitimate. Because after his wife, they separated. There was a whole mice there, and he thought she was separate. So that might have been the case. So he just didn't entertain the notion that this kid could be the Mashiach, could be the They brought him in. He was red haired with beautiful eyes, blue eyes. I don't know that for a fact. Just extrapolating. The Tovroi and very good looking. Vayomer Hashem said, Kumashcheu Kizehu. Anoint him because he's the right one. And the question is, it's late, and they'll have to go to the go hear what they have to say, but the question is, hey, wait a second. If David himself looks good, the pasuk is stressing it. So why was Shmuel rebuked for looking before at the how Eliyahu looked? So, we say very well, it's a Tovroi, a Feinayim. So we have to understand what was wrong before, and especially if you learn like the Malbim, that before Shmuel was saying, Hashem was saying to Shmuel, don't look at how beautiful Shaul is, right? If you say how beautiful Eliyahu is, okay, that's one thing. But Hashem is telling him, don't look at how beautiful Shaul is. And then, because Shaul was no good, even though he looked like he was a nice guy, and now all of a sudden by David HaMelech we're saying, oh, he was also a nice looking guy. So what's going on here, we'll see next week. And obviously they didn't search him they know how to frisk well in the old days. They only frisked the side on which they thought the sword would be. And Vayitzchev Avidno, he stuck the sword into Ehud's stomach. Vayovo gam hanitzav achralav. Eglon was so fat that the handle, what? Bad enough that it makes us feel good about that we're not that overweight. So vayovo gam hanitzav achralav. The handle also came in from behind the blade. The mamish, the whole thing got in there. Vayizgar chelev badalav. And the chelev, the fat inside his body, closed up around the blade. Because Ehud didn't pull the sword out. Now the Malbim says, why didn't he pull the sword out? A very practical reason. Because if he pulled it out, he'd get bloody.
And then if somebody would see him, they would sense, hey, 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 must be something going on here. So therefore he left the sword inside. Nonetheless, by Etiar Parshtona, all of the guts started spilling out, the food, the refuse, the garbage inside Eud, inside Eglon. And this obviously made a very great stench. And we're going to talk about the stench in a minute. Vayetze Eud HaMizdorona. Eud went out into the hallway. By Yisgar Dalsos Aliyah, and he closed the doors of the of the small room where the place where the big windows were. And Badovinoel behind him, and he locked it. And obviously it was a lock, but you couldn't tell if it was locked from the inside or the outside, because otherwise it would defeat the purpose. So he took the key and left. Huyotza, and he left. Vavodabo, and then the slaves came. Vairuvine Dalsos Alianulos, and they saw that the door to this room are closed. Vayomer, they said, Achmesi Chuas Ravlov. And remember, there are a lot of windows, and all the guts are on the floor. So obviously he smelled a great stench. They smelled a great stench, so they said, oh, must be, Eglon is attending to his needs. Meisach as a raglov means covering his legs, and it's a euphemism for attending to his needs. But they said, obviously he has a stomach disorder, he's got problems. He's, he's involved, he's busy. By the way, Achmeisach, obviously, since he was fat, he probably, took him a while. Achmeisach was raglov, b'chadah ha-mekerah. He's obviously attending to his needs with the chamber pot, which was in the chadah ha-mekerah. Vayachil ad-bosh. So they waited until they gave up all hope of his ever coming out. It's interesting, the word bosh. Vinei einenu, we'll see why in a minute. Vinei einenu. He's not there, he's not coming out. Vinei einenu poseach dalsos aliyah. He's not opening the doors of the upper room, the small room. Vayichulos mavdeach, so they took a key. Vayiftachu, and they opened up. Vinei adoneihem nofel artzameis. And they saw that their master had fell down on the ground and he was dead. Ve'eud nimlat adis ma'amom. And Eud had already run away by the time they were Mitzmameya. Now it's interesting, Mitzmameya here says the Malvim is a shorter time than Advosh. So had they not waited so long, they could have caught up with Eud. But by the time they were Mitzmameya, Eud had already run away, and when they actually woke up, by the time they were Bosh, which was much later, they'd given up hope and they banged down the door, they opened the door, then by that time Eud had managed to do a whole bunch of stuff, which we're going to see in a moment. But now, I just realized this tonight. Just now, Yismamea, where do we say Yismamea? Animami, you give me liquor. Now you're going to see amazing parallel here. And this is something which we're going to see a fascinating thing here. Ve'eu nimar Yismamea, and we know Yismamea, bafo pish Yismamea imko ve'achakelo. Vo'avaris ha-psilim. He passed by the psilim. In other words, the place, the idolatry place, he went by there. And he went by Malay, an interesting place. Where did he go? Hasi Yirasa. He went to Seir. How does Seir come in here? So it seems to me that the psukim now, in the next couple of psukim, we're going to describe a very fascinating thing. Eud thought he was Mashiach. Presenting this to his hypothesis. Eud thought he was Mashiach. And that's alluded to also by these Mameya, but we're going to see better allusions to. And why? What Seir? What do you mean? It's right here. I know that. I'm just, come on, so funny. I can't have a little bit of fun. But Yismamea also, we'll throw that word in too. I didn't think of it this morning, but now I have now I can throw it into the pot as well. So in any event, voice by Yimaleta Sirasa, because we know that we say in Parshas Vayishlach, Yaakov Avinu says to Esav that Anis na lo iti regal amlach ashel fanai ad asher avol adonis seira. Right? You all know that pasuk where it says Yaakov says Esav invited Yaakov to be his house guest. And Ezel Yaakov said, oh, please, don't do me such a great favor. I'll go slowly. Eventually, I'll catch up to you. The problem is, we know Yaakov Avinu never catches up. So Chazal say, what do you mean, at Asher Avol Adoni Seira? He meant, at the end of time, when V'oya Bayoma V'alu Moshim Bar Tzion Mishpot Tis Haresov, Haresov means the mountain of Seir, V'oysa L'Hashem Amlucha. Yaakov's going to catch up with Esav at the end of time. That's when Asher Avol Adoni Seira. So here, too, it's interesting. Vaimalei tasi rasa. He went to Seir. Why? Vahibavoo. When he got there, Vaiska b'shofar. Shofar. What shofar did he blow? What? Where did he get the idea? Where did Eud get the idea? It must have been Makubo. Huh? It must have been Mekubal. It must have had this Kabbalah on this.
I mean, Bayat Niel, it says Bayat Niel Abraham.
That's right. I guess they had a couple of look, but look, he went to Seir and he blew the shofar. What do we know about the shofar? He's going to Seir and he's blowing the shofar. Come on, what's going on here? Behar Ephraim. And where did he pick to go? He didn't go back to his own tribe to Binyamin. He chose Har Ephraim. Because we know, I don't have a chumash in front of me, but in the Haftorah for Parsha, I think it's the Haftorah Parsha of Vayishla, it says, Vayor Beis Yaakov Eish, Uveis Yosef Lahava, Uveis Esav Lekash, Vlihet Osa Mayom Abba. In other words, that who is going to be going to eradicate Esav at the end of time? Who's going to be involved in that? Yosef. Yosef is going to be the Shevet Yosef are the ones who are integral in order to bring about the complete Geula. So he's going to face Yosef. These are the ones where he's going in order to make sure to bring about Seir. And don't forget, Amalek was in on this deal too, right? It's not just the Mikra, it's not just by coincidence that Seir gets involved, but we know it wasn't just Moab, there was also Amalek involved, and we know that Ein Akise Sholem Ein Hashem Sholem Achimocha Zar Shol Amalek. But once Amalek is destroyed, that's it, that's when we bring the Geula. So he went and he tried to get Ephraim involved as well. Vayiskam Shofar Bahar Ephraim. And Vayirdu Imo B'nei So Minahar. Again, it stresses the mountain. Ulif name. Why the mountain? Because in that same pasuk it says, they're going to come down from the mountain of Har Tzion and go down to judge the mountain of Esav. So here too, he's going from the Har to the Har. He's going from here, it's Har Ephraim, from Eretz Yisrael, he's going down to the mountain, to the to Moab. So he said to fight the Moab and to fight the other enemies. Vayomer Elayim, he said to Bnei Ephraim, this is it, guys. Reach for Acharai, run after me. Right, we're all going to pursue and go and pursue them. Kinosan Hashem b'yoyah, Kinosan Hashem etzayvechem. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave your enemies as Moab b'yedchem, Moab in your hands, and v'yirdu achrov, and they went after him. V'yukdu etzmarbro sayarde. Now, the first thing they do is they encircle the enemy, because you remember the enemy who was on the west bank of the Jordan was in Yericho. So they went to the Allenby Bridge. You know, they went around. And they capture the Mabro Sayarde, they capture the bridge from the west bank to the east bank. And that way they cut off their escape routes. Right? And then when they had the army of Moab encircled, they wouldn't let anybody go. Vayakus Moab Beitai. And they destroyed, eradicated Moab at that time. Kaseras Alofimish. 10,000 people, which was obviously considered to be a great army at that time. But it's interesting, not just Stam people, but V'chol Ish Shomei, all the kol Shomei, all the best. Shomei means fat, but also means the best, the creme de la creme. They smote them. The cholish choil and all the soldiers lo nim latish. Nobody got away. Vatikona Moab by Yom Ahu. That's interesting though, but it wasn't the real Yom Ahu which Ehud thought. Ehud thought which Yom Ahu is it going to be? But that Yom Ahu, that's the Yom Ahu, how's it go? By Yom Ahu, yeah, Hashem Echad Ushmor Echad. He thought it'd be that Yom Ahu. It wasn't. It was Vatikonam Moab Yom Ahu, Tachas Yad Yisrael. They were underneath Am Yisrael. Vatishkotar Tarboim Arshmonim Shon, and the land was quiet for 80 years, but it wasn't a complete Geula. By the way, here too, the 80 years includes the 18. Why? Because you see at the beginning of Pasuk Dalet, the Perek Dalet says explicitly, by Asifu Bnei Yisrael, Asosa Rabbein Hashem, Ve'yud Meis. He did already evil in the lifetime of Ehud. Ehud was not a Vayoshiyim type savior. He was a leader, an inspired leader, a person who perhaps was himself very holy. But he wasn't a spiritual savior for Am Yisrael. The Vayoshiyim, which Othniel did, Ehud did not represent. He thought he was powerful. He thought he was Mashiach, perhaps, to see these illusions in the Pesukim. But he wasn't. He didn't get Bnei Yisrael to do tshuva. It was not him. It was not successful. And then afterwards, after him came Vacharov, came back to Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vacharov Hoya, after him was Shamgar Ben Anos. The Shamgar Ben Anos came after him. I looked in, it's interesting, there's we're going to find a lot of the minor, quote unquote, Shoftim, in Sefer Shoftim, there's a dearth of material on. And Shamgar Ben Anos is one of those who we know almost nothing about. The Mepharshim say, one Mepharshim says that he was for a year. 1 year after Ehud died. Literally right after Ehud died, he rose and then he was there for a year and then he died. Another Mepharshim say he was during the lifetime of Eilut. He was somebody, you know, some hero who came in some region of the country and did a mighty deed, but he wasn't really a shofet. Never says about him he was a shofet. Others say, I saw today in Encyclopedia Mikra'it, that's not a orthodox source, that some scholars say that Shem Garvin Onat was really a goy. He was a goy, you know, was the Encyclopedia Mikra'it. Some encyclopedia. It brings down for that some modern scholars say that Shamgar is not a Jewish name, that it's a name of some idolatry or something like that, and he was really a goy who saved Am Yisrael, but I don't know. There's no true evidence for that. Yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, we find all over Shas, right? We find all over Shas that Ravashi, you know, these are names which weren't Jewish, you know, that's like Murray and Sam. These are all just good. In Bavel, they're going by non-Jewish names as well, so it could be the time of Tanakh also. In any event, so that's no riot. There is one interesting Chazal, though. One interesting Chazal, which is found in the Medrash Tehillim. Now, you can only find these things if you have a CD-ROM. Fortunately, the library in the Yeshiva has a CD-ROM, and that's where you can find these things. So the Medrash brings down in Medrash Tehillim, the Buber's Medrash Tehillim, in Kapitel Tzadik, it brings down that Shamgar was from Shevet Shimon. And the Shevet is not mentioned because that's part of the klal of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't curse them explicitly, but Moshe Rabbeinu never gave them a bracha. And therefore, you'll never find a successful shofet or a successful king from Shevet Shimon. They never were leaders as a result of that. Well, and here too.
Nor do we have any indication.
Oh, it says, but that doesn't, he doesn't say how long he reigned, but it doesn't say it was a shofet. He never made it to be a real shofet. He had this great feat. He killed 600 plishtims with a cattle prod. But by Yoshka Moses Yisrael, he also saved Am Yisrael, but he didn't. He does not record it as having done being a shofet. And on the if you look at
parents, recorded in the others.
Were no, it does. No, it does. But the by Eilut doesn't say it was a shofet. You're right,
Mayda.
It's not even because that's true. He's not called the Moshiach. He's right. It's a good point Dr. Noble's making. At least David was called the Moshiach. He wasn't even called the Moshiach. Besides that, you see, if you go to the Perek Dalva, you see, and the night afterwards, you go to Yavin. So it's not even, when we come to summarize what's been going on, we don't even mention Shamgar's term. So it seems that Itaka was either very short and unsuccessful, or was just a great warrior at the time of Eilut.
Well,
in any event,
good.
What?
It was very good. There was stability.
It was very good. Why? Where do you see that?
It just doesn't go into detail.
Vayosha means one event. It means with that Mahmud Poker, 600 with those 600 people he killed. Look, I can't.
Have been during the Shmonim Shana.
Yeah, so it was during those 80 years, right?
What?
But those 80 years are all attributed to Eilut, right? By Sivan Eisos Rabbi Neshem Eilut Meis, it's right after Eilut, we go straight into Sisra and Yavin and Dvorah. So Shamgar's term is not recorded at all in any distinction. For a trip, yeah.
Yeah, but let's not go to extremes and say that he was.
No, that wasn't me. No. Chas v'Shalom. You're right. No, I wouldn't say he's an Ukri. That wasn't the Orthodox source. That was the scholar.
Right.
You know, if you're a Bible scholar, you can really say anything you want because nobody. Because, you know, once you have an hypothesis, go ahead. Hey, yeah. It's an interesting thing. Am Yisrael eventually is redeemed by Kodesh Baruch Hu, even if they're not worthy. So Am Yisrael will be redeemed, especially if there's one person who gets up. One of the reasons why Nebuch, we suffer so much is because we don't have inspired leadership. But if you have inspired leadership, even though the nation is not so good, one person who's inspired can in fact have a great impact. Now besides that, here it did say, Vayizaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem, I believe. In Pasuk Tes Vav, it said, Vayizaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem. They didn't do complete tshuva, but they did daven. So since they did daven, so therefore that was enough to send them a savior.
Everyone, where you see the word, it was a show.
There are two answers. That's what I'm saying. One is that when they cried, they got it. The other is eventually HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers. Eventually HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves. So we say, Ki lo lo lam yiznach Hashem. That's what we say in Eicha. Okay, now I have to go through this very quickly. You see, there's a long Rambam here. The Rabag is super long. When the Rabag gets onto a topic, he really launches into it. And here he gives seven reasons why we have the first three Pukim of Sefer Shoftim. The Rabag was obviously bothered by why all these stories are here. And he says that he gives seven reasons. So some of them apply to all Shoftim, some to specific Ma'asim. He leaves three Pukim, some to specific Ma'asim. I'll go through them quickly. I have them listed here in my notes. One is that they manifest Hashgacha of Hashem. And he says most of the Nevi'im Rishonim is like that. B'chlal, in general. The Nevi'im Rishonim is, when Am Yisrael is doing good, they get good. When Am Yisrael is not doing good, they get bad. And we see that constantly, the warp and woof of that, you know, back and forth, that when they're good, they get good, they're okay. When they're bad, they get vanquished and all that kind of stuff. That's one reason for most of the Nevi'im Rishonim. Another thing here we see specifically in the first two, three Prokim is the advantage of successful planning. And you have to plan carefully from the beginning. In other words, like when and it refers specifically to the time when they cut off Adoni Bezek's thumbs and big toes. It says that was premeditated. That was planning ahead of time to do this, wage this war. And that's why they asked the Urim V'Tumim to find out who should go up first and who should fight first in order to plan successfully, in order to make sure that they got the optimum results. In other words, that at the end they'll do that which will bring the most fear to the people in the land, that which will have the most devastating results on them, that which will be the best possible plan to employ. Then he says, another reason why we have a couple of the Ma'asim here, one of the Ma'asim in the first three program is with Achsa and Asniel. Remember, Achsa was Asniel's wife, Kalev's daughter, and she asked her father to increase her dowry. So she didn't ask for everything at once. First she asked for one field, then she asked for one type of well, then she asked for another type of well. So therefore, from this we learn, you should always ask in stages. In other words, don't ask your father or your father-in-law for $1 million at once. Ask him for $1,000 here, $1,000 there, right? That's the best way of doing it, right? That's right. Then, see, our father's very practical, Risha. Then we say there's an advantage of connecting to the tzaddikim. It says that the Bnei Keni, the children of the grandchildren of Yisro connected themselves to Shevet Yehuda to learn Torah. So from here we learn that one's supposed to connect oneself to righteous people. Then we learned about the city of Luz, right? That the Bnei Yisro, when they came to conquer Beit El, they found this person who told them the passageway in, and they let him go, and he went and he started the new city of Luz, where we know nobody used to die, all that kind of stuff. And from here we learn that all good is rewarded. And eventually people get rewarded for anything good, and we have to ensure to reward people for all the good they do. Here also we learn, it's almost the same thing in number two. Number six is strategic planning. That Ehud carefully planned his war, you know, with this whole business, with the sword and the mincha and all that. For him we learn that one has to not just plan for the optimum fear, but that the battle plan always has to be carefully orchestrated ahead of time. And finally we learn not to risk others. He sent everybody else away before he actually killed Eglon, so that if he died in the attempt, nobody else would be risked. And these are the Rabbag's seven to'aliyos, the seven advantages, seven morals, which we learned from the first three Prokim of Shoftim. But of course, I think that there's a value, although the Rabbag seems not to address this, there's a value in Jewish history in and of itself. Right? It's important for us to know. Chori Mosalam Binush knows Dor Vador. It's important for us to know where we came from, our heritage, and what's going on in our history. And Achnami, one of the things which he says, why we have all of Sefer Shoftim is for the Hashgacha. So he's trying to address all of Sefer Shoftim. Don't worry, he's going to come back to us. He's going to come back to us several times during Sefer Shoftim and also deliver to us discourses on why various different other parts of the Sefer were necessary.
The question that you've just
asked, all of Sefer Shoftim and specifically these three prokim.
He's
going to come back later and talk about other prokim as well. It's like a synopsis. Every few prokim is going to give us a long dissertation.
Well, it's a repeated thing.
Yeah.